It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
North Carolina, first in flight.
About gaining control of your life and letting go at the same time. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball. Grip it and rip it.
But this week, it's all about ball flight, bogeys, and birdies.
Watch the birdie.
This is Dirt and Sprague on PGA Championship Week.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in the second hour of the program. Dirt and Sprague here on YouTube. 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2. Good morning. Happy hump day. Get your hump on. Happy Wednesday.
Double pumping today.
Double pumping Wednesday. Yesterday, some breaking news happened as soon as we turned these microphones off, so we haven't been able to talk about it yet. We'll get into that. If you miss any of the show hours, you can always catch it at YouTube or 1080thefan.com. And before we dive into the big breaking news from yesterday, I want to remind you guys to put on your calendars Tuesday, June 24th. Why? Ooh. You might be asking.
Why? What's going on that day?
Well, your local Toyota dealers presents the 11th Annual Fan Golf Classic out at Langdon Farms. It's also brought to you by Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors and Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Lawyers. Victor Eagles will be out there with breakfast, burritos, and lunch. Matt's Barbecue will be on hand as well with that bomb brisket. And foursomes can be purchased at 1080thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo and come hang out with us Tuesday, June 24th.
Like, yeah.
And that was the collective sound made from Portland, Oregon, USA yesterday. As it was announced, the Blazers sent out a statement. The estate of Paul G. Allen announces it has commenced a formal sales process for the Portland Trail Blazers NBA franchise consistent with Allen's directive to eventually sell his sports holdings and direct all estate proceeds to philanthropy. The estate has selected investment bank Allen & Company and law firm Hogan Lovells to lead the sales process, which is estimated to continue into the 25-26 basketball season. The Board of Governors must then ratify a final purchase agreement. This news does not affect the Seattle Seahawks or the estate's 25% interest in the Sounders.
Poor Seahawks. They're getting held hostage they're getting held hostage a little bit longer, even though they have to sell that at some point as well.
They will sell that as well, but that's not our conversation. Our conversation is...
We did it!
He passed away in 2018.
Yeah.
It is May 2025, and they have finally started the process of selling our beloved Trailblazers to who? We don't know. I listened to the Locked On Pod, the homie Mike Richmond. He says that sources tell him 9 to 12 months is the process we could be looking at here. So, could be sitting exactly here at this moment, announcing the new ownership has been approved by the NBA Board of Governors, and it's so-and-so with the so-and-so group, and there you go. But the Blazers are for sale. The Allens and the Vulcans will be no more.
Hallelujah. Our prayers have been answered. It has been a long, nearly decade now that Paul Allen, his estate has been running the team, and it just continues to blow my mind that we have had this situation since 2018, and we've never once had the person who technically owns the team speak on record, or the person who was allowed to have meetings once a week with the general manager and the head coach of the team to talk about player personnel decisions and roster management and all that, never once have to give an interview or answer a question to anybody.
And they won't. They will never sell this team without having said one single word publicly.
About what their plans are, about what their hopes are, about what their expectations are, about what their goals are, about where they want to go. It has been a very weird couple of days. I mean, I went from pretty damn low on Monday night to having a feeling that was going to happen. But in the back of your mind, it's like when you buy a lottery ticket on your way home, you're like, God, what if I won? This would be cool. I quit my job. And then you realize, no, I just flushed $10 down the toilet and I didn't win the lottery. And you have that swift kick in the nuts of where the hell is the team going? Where is the hope? How do you get out of this kind of no man land purgatory that you're in right now? And then you follow it up the next day with, holy crap, they're selling the team. And the idea of change and what is to come is not scary in the least to me, because I know, similarly to the idea of talking about tanking, it's never a guarantee that it's going to work. It's never a guarantee that you'll get the number one pick, but I'm willing to try because I think it's worth the risk. It's not a guarantee that you're going to get a great owner. It's not a guarantee that you're going to get somebody who invests every penny and wants to win and is an excellent, wonderful owner who accomplishes all the goals and dreams that we have as sports fans. But what I do know is you weren't going to accomplish that with the current administration and with Jody and Bert running the show, because they never had a long-term vision. They never set a direction on what they wanted to accomplish, because they've just been placeholders. And we've all known that they were placeholders, and we're eventually going to have to sell the team. So for the first time for me in a long, long, long time, yesterday was a great day to be a Blazer.
I don't blame any single person with the team that has talked about the ownership situation publicly when they're asked about it. What I find odd is the selling as if they were just going to be the owners for 45 years.
We all knew this was going to happen.
I mean, this was inevitable. It was in the estate. The commissioner of the league talked about this at either an owners meeting or a press conference of some sort. He brought this up, that they were indeed going to have to sell it. It's in the estate wishes. So I always just kind of found it odd a little bit, the kind of noise surrounding them as if they were going to be here forever and they're great. And like, I'm not saying they're not great behind the scenes if you work for them. I always found it a little odd. Brian Berger, who does a sports business podcast from Portland, he was on with Danny and Dusty. He was asked about the guy who tried to buy the team a couple times, but was told thanks, but no thanks. And that would be Dirt's favorite guy, Phil Knight.
I would be very surprised. I have not spoken with Phil Knight. I have spoken with others who are in the Phil Knight stratosphere. And I would be very surprised if at 87 years old, Phil Knight got back into this. I think there's a variety of reasons, some of which you just mentioned. But I just don't think the only way I could see him getting involved is if he found out that the Blazers were being purchased by out-of-towners who really had their eyes focused on moving the team from Oregon. Maybe he gets involved to try and keep them here. But other than that, I think he's 87. He's given so much charity at a number of different places. I just don't think that he's going to get involved at this point. 7 years ago, he could have gotten involved, but now I don't see it.
So that might be 100% accurate. My only counter I would say, and I have no connections to Phil Knight whatsoever, he put in a bid 2 years ago. So like 85 and 87 is a difference. It's not really much of a difference in my mind. So I'm not going to say that he's off the list, because it was just like a year and a half, 2 years ago, he put in a bid.
It wasn't 2018 when Paul Allen passed. It was recently that he tried to make a bid to buy the team.
You know, to his point of like 7 years ago, he just put in a bid.
Yep.
2 years ago. So I'm not going to dismiss it. Nobody knows who the owner is.
No.
We can speculate all we want. you know, I heard a lot of Jensen Huang. I'm like,
it's not happening, dude. The guy doesn't care about sports.
He's with the Saudi crown prince right now. He's not interested. No, he's not showing any interest in sports.
No, he's not investing money in Oregon State athletics.
I also am not going to sit in the fear-mongering of relocating the team.
No.
I'm not going to say it's impossible. I just don't buy that it's real. I understand the ownership arena stuff is a thing, and do you got to climate pledge your arena? Do you need to do a total renovation for a billy plus, or do you tear it down and build a new one? I know that whole conversation is there. It exists. But I just don't think the league is in a spot if they're going to expand to Seattle and Vegas, and that is definitely why they're listing this now.
Yes, it's going to happen this summer.
It's because it's going to probably get announced this summer. I don't imagine the league's going to expand and then say, let's relocate a market we've been in since the 70s. It was a bad look and a black eye on the league with the Seattle stuff. They did not handle it well. The city representatives also did not handle it. The state representatives did not handle it well. And I don't think Adam Silver is that kind of commissioner. The dude reacts the minute he sees a negative tweet. You think he's got the backbone to be moving a franchise out of a market like Portland? I don't really buy that. But I also can't answer any arena type questions. Nobody can.
No.
It's just going to be who's going to have the money. And the best case scenario you could hope for here, because the NBA gets new owners all the time, not all the time, but they get new owners. They have the last few years. You get a lot of meddling owners. The best case scenario is you get a Steve Ballmer. I need exactly what Steve Ballmer is. I couldn't have disagreed more with Danny yesterday on the poo-pooing of Steve Ballmer as an owner. I want Steve Ballmer. You can say SGA trade, and I'll say, yeah, and still was in the playoffs, still had a loaded roster,
yeah,
still in the conversation, passionate, new arena, built this thing for fans. Like, that dude is
the dream owner.
Bees deep.
I would take
he's
that guy.
Bees deep.
Any day of the week.
A bad move is going to happen. Yeah. It's, guess what? We had bad moves happen here. We haven't been to the playoffs in 4 years. So anything like this ownership group's done anything great.
The one that decided to keep Neil Olshey around when they got bounced in the first round of the playoffs and fired Terry Stotts, that ownership group.
The best thing this ownership group did was start a G League team. Like, that's the best thing we can point to. Other than that, yeah, I want a Steve Ballmer all day. I want passionate sports guy with a lot of money, all in to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, that's such a low bar. If G League team is your best accomplishment in 7 years, that's such a low
can
bar.
Can you name me another a better one?
No.
What's a better thing they did?
I don't think I can. That's the sad reality
we
that we've
a
lived
G League
in.
Team. They at least said, okay, we'll bring that back.
They have solved that issue for us. Yeah, I think this has gotten to the point where they're costing so much money. Some of the names thrown out, nobody has any clue where this is going to go. I agree with your Phil Knight stance. It wasn't a decade ago that he tried to buy the team. That was 2 years ago. He was going to do it with the minority. I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head. The minority owner of the Dodgers.
Dodger guy, Smolinski?
The real estate mogul down there in Los Angeles. So it's like he's got, that guy's got money too. Swag Riggins, not quite sure
he's
the name.
He's not sure his name. He's just saying yes.
He gave the arms up on that one. So it's a situation where I know it would scare people because
Smolinski.
Okay. What happens if Phil Knight passes away? He is up there in age. And
oh,
how does
an estate. It's just like the Oregon situation. I
don't think he's going to be a majority owner in this case. I think he'd have a lot of money. He'd have a lot of input, and he'd do a ton to try and keep the team in the area, which I don't have the fear that they're going to leave for every reason that you just listed. I think because of how expensive these things are and how, I mean, when you're looking at the last 7 to 8 years in the NBA, you'll know this better than I do. How many NBA teams have truly come up for sale? So we have Boston, Minnesota,
Phoenix,
the Clippers, obviously, with Ballmer.
Well, yeah.
Well, you get my point.
They didn't come up for sale. They were forced to
they
sale.
They just happened to be for sale. The Clippers are available. Who wants to buy
them? Did you say the Timberwolves?
I said the Timberwolves.
Okay. Full sale, because there's different versions here, too, because Haslam bought a portion of the box.
Yeah, I'm not talking portion. I'm talking the similar situation where it's a full sale of the team.
In the last how many years?
We'll just use the last decade.
I think. Those are the only ones.
Those are the only ones, right?
Because Cuban's still a minority owner.
The Nets, okay.
Oh, that's right. Prokhorov.
That's right. He sold the team. He got out of the team.
Ryan Smith, I think his name is.
Okay.
And I'm seeing the Raptors.
Oh, the Raptors got
sold? Oh, no, that's an old one, maybe.
Okay, a little bit older than
but
that.
But yeah, for the most part, those
but
are the
point
teams.
Is, like, I think there's a lot of very rich people who are desperate to own.
Oh, the Mavericks.
But I think Mark Cuban still technically
still like 15%. Owns,
yeah, he still owns a portion of it.
He has no power in that organization.
No.
He was supposed to, and that's the whole, it's all another can of worms to get into. These things just don't come available very often. And so I think having a situation where there's a lot of really rich people who are looking to add to their portfolio. There's a lot of really enticing names to get involved with.
It's a club.
It's a billionaire's very club. Exclusive club to be, you know, an owner of a sports franchise. And so I find this news. I'm not a fear-mongering guy. The team is not moving cities. And sure, maybe the owner ends up being crappy. Maybe he ends up making bad moves or she ends up making bad moves. We have no clue how it will work out. But I knew what our current reality was. And our current reality was an owner who was never held accountable, never had to do an interview, never had a long-term vision.
She didn't care about basketball.
Didn't care about basketball. Didn't dictate a course. She would sit courtside and we don't have to pretend that she cares about the NBA. Like, it was ridiculous. It was not her team. It was Paul Allen's team. And the fact that she was allowed to own it for 7 years was a joke. We all knew that it was going to get sold at some point. And this is a wonderful, wonderful day.
She didn't own the team, though. The estate did.
The estate owned the team, yes. Yeah. She was the head of the estate.
She's the face. She won the head. She's the face.
I think she's technically in charge of the estate.
I don't know if she's the head or in charge. The estate is just dictated with all these terms. Burt Cold had more say in that organization than she did.
Sure. He was running the show, which is also laughable. Anything other than that is better than the situation we've been in for last nearly decade.
I find the potential owner thing a kind of a pointless exercise. I don't mean to discourage people from texting in or sending in thoughts, but like, it's all wish list stuff that has no real evidence. So it's just like, hey, what about that guy? What about this guy? What about that guy? What about this girl? What about that guy? What about that guy? Yeah.
Could be any of them.
It's going to be a bid.
Could be none of them.
Probably going to be a group.
Yeah.
Not going to be just one dude. Unless Jensen Huang has done, you know, hanging out with a Saudi prince, asking for that technology money.
Yeah.
So unless it's that, it's probably going to be a group.
I'll take the Saudi crown prince. Let's go, baby.
What would you say? What's your best, just kind of general guess of what you think Phil Knight's interest still is?
I absolutely think that he is still interested. I think he is.
You think he'll come back into the fray?
I don't know if he'll be the ultimate buyer of the team, but I don't think he has the public back and forth with the Vulcans that he did 2 years ago and the leaking of stories to the media that he did 2 years ago.
Mm.
The investment in the general area of the Moda Center and the money that's being poured into black-owned businesses and the communities around it, I don't think he's doing that without a long-term thought in mind of this could be a feather in my cap at the end of the day of remodeling the Moda Center, remodeling the area, a city that I love, protecting the franchise from ever moving.
I just think that's the dream scenario.
Yeah, I think that he is absolutely still interested. Yeah. And his being old does not bother me, again, because I don't think he's going to be the majority owner for that reason. I think he's going to be a ton of money behind it, but I don't think he's going to be the majority owner because of that.
As a country, we've all decided that we want the oldest people running everything, so why would Phil Knight not make sense?
I'll take it, man. He's got billions of dollars. He wants to spend them. I know that guy will spare no expense to do whatever it takes to win. Mm. A lot of people hate that he does it for a certain university in this state, and they're going to love it if he does it for the NBA team. Should be funny if the shoe's on the other foot. I'd be thrilled if he's involved with the purchase.
We have a lot more to get into. You can share your thoughts at the fan text line, 503-864-6326. Also, chime in on the YouTube chat. The Blazers are officially for sale. Hopefully, this goes well. It goes quick. I'd love to be sitting here a year from right now talking about or announcing a new owner. That'd be the dream. It'd be the dream to move on from what we currently have, which has been no playoffs, no passion, just a loveless kind of marriage.
Not a lot of hope.
We're coming home to each other every night, but we're not like, yeah. Should you get divorced? Can't divorce your favorite team. But there's a lot of that kind of vibe. So the Blazers are officially for sale. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on 1080 The Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
I shot a text to our friend David Sampson, who used to own the Marlins. He's gone through the process. He flirted with Portland and used us as leverage in Miami.
Bastard.
And he was on our show not very long ago and basically said, They're going to sell soon.
That was last week. I think it was on last week. We were talking Diamond Project stuff with him, and we brought up the Vulcans owning the NBA team and how weird that is and what that looks like. And I had gotten to the point where he said it, and I'm like, yeah, right. Just, like you get so bummed about the situation. You're like, there's no chance that happens anytime soon. I think he said in the next handful of months they're going to sell the team, and look at that. He ended up being right.
This one from Mike Vorkanov, by the way. I saw this as soon as we went to break, and I went, there's the Dirt and Sprague timing. Just perfect.
Yes.
This is actually from Phil Knight. 5 years ago when I was a younger man, I had great interest in being a part of the Portland Trailblazer franchise.
Mm.
I hope I'm not being butt-cracked here.
Okay.
Mike Vorkanov, National NBA Basketball Business Reporter.
This is an actual account that we have followers. It's not a fake account.
I'm hoping it is.
Okay, let's run with it.
However, my current age, I confirm I'm no longer have interest.
Oh, well, there you go. So,
God, I'm nervous about reading stuff off the internet anymore. Anybody else dealing with this in your life?
All the time. All the time.
You get an Instagram video or something you found on the internet or social media, and you're like, hey, man, did you know so-and-so did so-and-so so-and-so? Really?
Wait, what? Are you sure about that?
Like, the minute you say it, you lose that confidence. Yeah. You're like, where'd you get that? Buttcracksports.com.
Damn it. The ball sack got me again.
Like, if it's fake, we'll gladly tell you that was fake.
Yeah.
But I think I have a tweet here from a real
source close to Phil Knight saying he does not plan on buying the Blazers.
Deadly afraid now.
Just run with it. At this
Radio
point, what
host
the hell?
This morning said Phil Knight was out. What a liar.
So spreading around the city. This guy's lying out of his butt, man. I mean, it's a bummer, dude. It's a bummer that we missed the opportunity, that Jody was greedy and wanted to wait for the expansion fee money to come to the NBA before officially being open to selling the team. And a handful of years ago, Phil Knight, clearly, if the quote is accurate, had serious interest in buying the team. But, you know, I don't know what his health status is. He is almost 90 years old. He is a very old gentleman. But it's a bummer that that never came to fruition, because he would have been the ideal solution to our problems.
Do you want me to play something that'll make you feel better?
Yeah, make me feel good.
But actually,
I already feel great.
Feel worse.
Okay, sure.
This is Zach Lowe on his podcast. He was in the room when they're doing the lottery. So there's two lotteries. There's the one where the teams go in.
Yes.
The numbers are drawn. There are packets of number combination that have to hit. And they go through. And when the people come out from the teams, they already know the results.
They know the answers.
But they cannot show any indication at all what they know.
You can't take your phone in there. You can't. There's no devices allowed.
No.
None of that stuff.
So Zach Lowe is in this room. Okay, I think Sean Hyken's in this room. Golliver's in this room.
Hyken's been in there a number of years in a row, I believe.
So Zach Lowe's in the room. The three number combinations that start the drawing when you get to the top end picks have to be certain numbers for the back end teams of the lottery to have a chance.
Yeah.
So this clip's going to start right at that point. The three numbers that are drawn come up, and then Zach Lowe, take it away. Walk us through what it was like to be in, finding out the Mavs got the number one pick.
If the last ball was a six, Blazers win the lottery. If the last ball was a one, Wizards win the lottery. If the last ball was a two, Pelicans win the lottery. If the last ball is a three, Brooklyn wins the lottery. If the last ball is a four, Toronto wins the lottery. If the last ball is a seven, Mavs. If the last ball is an eight, the Bulls win the lottery. If the last ball is a nine, the Kings win the lottery. And here's the kicker. If the last ball is a five, a 12, or a 13, the Spurs win the lottery for the second time in 3 years. The Spurs actually had the best odds in that 30 seconds of winning the lottery. And Brian Wright,
it's like 22% odds.
Which, by the way, did you see the hockey lottery that was broadcast on, I don't know, maybe ESPN, I don't know who did it. They broadcast the actual, like, as the TV show.
Yeah.
They did this as the TV show, and they had a big board updating the odds after every ball came up. Like, they had the percentages for the number one pick, and they would change. That was really cool. The broadcast itself was a little problematic. But anyway, the Spurs actually had the best chance. And so Matt Riccardi was representing the Mavs. Matt, I don't know what his title is with the Mavs. He's been a scout for a long time. He was a scout in Brooklyn for a long time. I know Matt pretty well. So I'm talking to him afterwards, and he goes, and Andre Patterson was representing the Blazers. They were sitting next to each other, and Andre confirmed this. During those 20 seconds, Matt Riccardi, representing the Mavs, turned to Andre and said, it's going to be a seven. Now, you can say that like it's bravado. It's like, it's going to be a seven. It's going to be us. And Andre was like, well, if it's a six, it's us. And then it turns seven, and the whole room pauses because only a couple people realize it's Dallas.
God, that hurts. That hurts.
We were
right
not,
in our face, dude.
Not only were
right
we,
in our face.
Not only were we the number off by one.
Yeah.
We also had our representative seated right next to the team
and the
that
guy
won
yeah.
it.
The guy talking S to us, too. Okay, man, watch this. We're going to get the number one overall pick.
And look, the Mavs win the lottery. They get the flag sweepstakes. They announce they are not going to trade that pick. It's going to be Cooper Flag, which, all right, I'm so curious to watch that all unfold. Thought it was a championship 3-year window. I thought defense mattered. But okay, let's take the 18-year-old rookie. I cannot believe how close the Spurs were to getting that again.
Would have been insane.
The most
twice in 3 years. And of all the prospects to have it happen for, of the last however many years, easily the two best prospects.
Those are the two best.
Not last year's number one pick, not the other randoms.
They get Wemby, and then they get Cooper Flagg.
I mean, it's just insane. The two best number one prospects we've seen.
What did they do in San Antonio to get this luck? It's ridiculous.
In the last 10 years. Somebody texted in yesterday, San Antonio is the one that they use to throw you off the scent of it being rigged because they're a small market. There's got to be one non-Dallas, L.A., New York conspiracy here. Saying, oh, it's the Spurs, a tiny market in Texas. If they're getting the number one pick, there's no chance. It's rigged. I don't understand. And I, you know, he hinted at it. We talked about this yesterday. The NHL has found out a way to do this. Maybe the NBA doesn't in years to come. I would love to watch this.
I also read Swag. Help me here. I know we're against it, but help me here. The NHL's lottery. Now, if you're in where the Mavs were in the lottery for the NHL, you can only move up a certain amount, right?
The max you can jump is 10 spots.
So you can't move up to
number
one.
So if you're the 13th team, you can just move up to number three.
So the Mavs in the NHL style could have never gotten Cooper Flagg.
They would have got to number two.
Yeah. We would have been the cutoff, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, because we were the 10th odds.
Right.
So we would have
Now,
been
they
able.
Have two more teams in the draft lottery because there's 32 in the NHL.
Sure. That problem will be solved next year in the NBA when they get Seattle and Vegas announced this offseason.
It's devastating. I saw Kyle Mann.
How crazy. This would be so fun to watch because the odds would be on the
was,
board.
You're I'm
on the
telling ping, you.
You're all looking at what's the next number to come out. If it's this, it's this team.
Last
if it's this,
number,
it's that team.
There were still like eight teams that could have gotten the number one pick and the Kraken were one of them.
Yeah, so we just went through this. It was Portland, Dallas, New Orleans. San Antonio. I mean, it was 10
Sacramento.
Teams.
Yeah.
Sacramento. A bunch of teams still had a
How
chance.
How much drama
and you're
is going on
the number,
there
give me the
with
number,
all
give
those
number,
teams?
Give me the number.
Yeah.
The prop. Here's the only problem. The TV would have to make sure they're dialed. He shared another story that Kevin Agandi on the broadcast, after a certain pick was made, said, "Well, that'll eliminate Philadelphia's pick's going to go to the Thunder."
Yeah, he spit the bit
on
that.
And he was wrong.
Yeah.
And that was the broadcast.
Yeah, you got to make sure you're right on.
So you got to be dialed. And the other part is Zach Lowe showed his packet of combinations of numbers.
Oh, it's got to be insane. The teams themselves can't keep up with it. The teams, he says, when they're announcing the numbers, the teams are literally going through line per line.
Okay, there's a 10. Okay, there's an 11.
That's Toronto. Yeah. Okay, like they don't even, they have a lot they have
they
to
had
process.
A doubt in because the odds changed on the graphics on the ESPN NHL one pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Like they had
you
it
need
all,
a little breather
somebody
after
somebody had it all in there
outdated.
And computerized so they could update the graphics as soon as those balls came up.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be able to get Samson on tomorrow. Do we want him on tomorrow?
Hell yeah,
absolutely.
Dude. Okay. Hell yeah.
I'll work on that. Final note, Kyle Mann, to just really twist the knife a little bit, being one number off.
Make it worse.
Kyle Mann says he is Cooper Flagg, the most skilled prospect he's ever seen.
Yeah.
And he's counting LeBron James in that.
I mean, he's a 6'9" guy who can move and shoot and play defense and handle the rock. And continues to grow, continues to get bigger. Seems like a humble dude who's going to work his ass off. Like, is there a box that is not checked?
Why didn't we have 7? That's Roy's.
Would have been
number.
Cool. Yeah, we should have had 7.
We should have had 7.
Maybe if we would have sent Roy, we would have had 7. Damn it.
Damn it.
What are we doing? Kamara.
All right, we got a lot more to get into. We got Saturday Story around the corner as well. During break, we're back with more.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Soak in the sunshine with the return of Pelican's seasonal beer, Pelicano. Available in clear glass bottles for refreshment you can see.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Wednesday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. With the return of warmer weather, Pelican brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. Brian Berger was on with Danny and Dusty yesterday, and he had a lot to say about the status of the Blazers. He used to work for the Blazers.
He DM'd me at 9:15 a.m. asking if he could come on our show today. And by the time I had seen the message, I went to respond. I literally heard Dusty coming up at 1:15.
He was already ready to go.
All righty.
And I think we'll do back-to-back days. That's the whole point of pulling audio. So a hat tip to the Wonder Kid producer, Jeff Russ, who pulled some of these. And here are his thoughts from yesterday. Primarily, and I think we kind of know the answer to this, but essentially, why now?
Yeah, I think Jody Allen and Burt Cold have actually timed this pretty perfectly. So the Celtics just sold you've got two potential expansion franchises coming, which will go for more than what the Blazers will likely sell. So if you're someone who wants to own an NBA team, this is it. The Blazers are your best chance, because we don't know of any other teams that may be sold in the future as far as the NBA goes. So I think that will drive up the price too. But I think, you know, like I said, you just saw the Washington Commanders sold. You've seen the Boston Celtics sold. You can't get an NHL team now for less than $1 billion. So these franchise values continue to go up. And I think the other thing that's interesting to point out about Portland is you've got this agreement between the city of Portland and the Trailblazers. And it's a very short-term agreement. It makes the Blazers very portable. And that's good and bad. The bad is if you have an out-of-town buyer and they want to move the team, they've got a decent shot at doing it. The good news is if I'm a new owner of the Blazers, I want to negotiate my own arena lease, or better yet, I want to build a new arena, because the Rose Garden / Moda Center is 30 years old. I want a new, more modern arena. So there's a lot of flexibility around what I can do as the new owner.
Yeah, it's been reported a couple of times by different people that the arena is a big caveat for a lot of folks who are looking to buy the team. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because I follow this stuff, but not as closely as some. It is undergoing major facelifts, renovations, uplifts, whatever you want to call it.
They've been doing a little...
Because for the women's Final Four, which is coming in 2030. So yeah. I think every offseason, that was a big reason when the WNBA team was announced. Remember, there was the whole arena thing of where are they going to play? Mm-hmm. And they couldn't play there in the offseason because the Moda Center was going to be, you know, essentially torn down and built back up. Not completely, but you get my point. So that is an interesting scenario in this. So the city owns the land. The team owns the building. And what happens with an arena? Do you get just more renovations? Do you get somebody who wants to build their own arena? Like, that's going to be a big part of this decision that comes with owning the Blazers and whoever ends up buying it, is what happens to the building that they're playing in and what happens to the infrastructure around it. That's been a complaint from a lot of fans for a long time, that there's just nothing there. There's no district. There's no restaurants. There's no bars. There's no place to go. It's not a great place to go park. Like, you're not thrilled to go over to the Moda Center area.
Excuse me.
And so, to me, that is a huge question that lingers over all of this, is what is the plan with the arena? Where is the team going to move location-wise if they build a new one? Would they tear it down and rebuild it in the same spot? There are a lot of questions that come with
that. Yeah, you know, I find that offensive. There's a Denny's and a Burgerville right there. There's a Wendy's right
up the road. Is the Red Robin still there?
I think the Red Robin is yum, yum,
yum.
Pretty sure that's still there.
They still do bottomless steak fries. Is that still a thing for them?
I love those steak fries. They're delightful.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
I find by the second batch, they don't season them anymore because they want you to not enjoy them.
Stop eating them.
Yeah.
Stop, too many fries.
I think
it's
a little hack they have. Look, there's no doubt. There's a lot of questions that linger here. Here's my biggest one. So let's just say fill in the blank group billionaire people buy this team. And let's just say, for argument's sake, no interest in the league, does not want this team relocated. And so all those fears go away, because that's all people are going to do now is fear monger day to day and tell you, oh, are they going to move coming up next?
I mean, if Seattle gets a team this summer, where are they going to move?
I mean, Kansas City.
Nashville. Gonna move the Blazers to Kansas City.
I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just telling you, there's going to be people in our market playing this fear-mongering game for over a decade, and they're going to keep playing that game.
They could go to Seattle. That was always the fear.
The Sonics
are going to get announced this offseason.
Now, here's what my question is, as I was thinking about this. If new persons come in and they want arena, they don't want renovated, because even a major renovation like Climate Pledge, my brother worked on Climate Pledge. That's a massive overhaul. That's basically a new arena, Climate Pledge. Having been in Key Arena and then gone to Climate Pledge.
Yeah, the only thing that's the same are the beams
and the roof.
And the roof.
They kept the roof.
But even inside,
and then they dug
different.
Down further to expand the arena.
So if you build a new arena or you do a Climate Pledge like renovation, where the hell do they play? Is this an Oklahoma City, New Orleans type deal where they go to a different market for a year?
Yeah, play at the Coliseum. They're renovating the Coliseum right now. Send them back to the old Glass Palace.
12,666, baby.
Sense of urgency with the ticket. Give me the white keys back. I don't need no Jumbotron in
there.
Give
me the Cyclops at center court.
Now we're talking.
You would have to you would have to do a major overhaul.
Like, they have been for the last couple of years.
Nah, but whatever they've done, it's not close.
Oh, it's not an NBA arena.
Enough. They have to do a massive overhaul on that venue to do anything to be able to play in it.
Well, the A's are playing in a AAA facility right now, so.
I don't think the NBA operates the way baseball does.
The Rays are playing in a spring training.
Come on over to the Child Center. We'll pack them in.
Child Center's beautiful, man. Portland State's got a nice new arena. How about
that? That's where the Remix play.
Dude, some of the new high school gyms in this area are pretty badass.
Are we doing the Liberty High School, Les Schwab, over there at the Blazer games?
They got that little standing room only up
3,600, I think, standing room only.
If you could choose somewhere for them to play for a season, what venue would you choose that you'd be willing to drive to, or you just think
it'd be the Coliseum?
The
I know it's
badass.
Funny. It'd be the Coliseum for sure. Because you could fit 12,000 in there. It's old. It smells like burnt hot dogs and 1997 beer, but it's clearly the biggest arena, and it actually has locker rooms that you can utilize that no other gym has that. Or arena has that.
Yeah, see, this is where
it's also an area where you're used to going to. It's not a new area.
My hat would be like, yo, can we get legislation to change memorial stuff and kind of take her down?
They're putting a lot of money into that thing.
I know.
A lot, millions and millions of dollars have been poured into the Coliseum.
God forbid we touch the building. That's obviously not great.
You can't do it. Can't do it, Bob. Can't
okay,
do
but
it.
You're not playing the game. The game is, but again, I don't know.
No gym would work for an NBA team, so it's hard to play the game because whatever gym I give you,
I don't know,
will
man.
Not
I've
apply.
Seen Liberty High School; they hold a decent capacity.
They don't have locker rooms.
Yeah, they do. The cafeteria, fold the tables.
Sure, there you go. That makes sense. We're gonna do that. Yeah, I mean, nothing would work, but I do think it's a pretty big
deal. Scoot Henderson's butt over there.
He's naked in the hallway. This to me is one of the bigger questions that lingers out of all of it.
I think it's the biggest.
What's going to happen with the arena?
Because it's going to get bought.
Yeah, Matthew Knight's getting texted in. Matthew Knight's probably the best local general area option.
That's
the
only
closest to an NBA
closest to the NBA
I mean,
arena.
It's an NBA arena.
Could...
Or Gil.
Gil.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
Sure. Is this thing on, Gil?
Yeah.
Gil, Blazers, Corvallis, Zers.
Do they actually have seats at Gil, or is it still bleachers?
Cement.
Cement slabs.
Slats Gil. You know, there's an NBA player hanging in that arena.
Some more Brian Berger audio. I'm going to get to a couple of the things that he said and a few other questions that we do have about this. But the Daily Ticker is always brought to you by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. The return of warmer weather. Pelican brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. Some more thoughts on this. What do you make of the arena situation? Because that is a huge question that's arising out of the sale of the Blazers that was announced yesterday. Back after this on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. Oh, that guy's just all over the place today. He's just all over the studio. Who's this guy? I don't know. Maybe he's terrible. Worried about the team moving to Seattle. Okay.
So
who's this guy?
We all had our laptops upgraded, the operating system underneath, and then you have to go back in and reload all of your apps and things that you need.
I never had mine updated.
Yeah, no.
How's this
going to
turn
why,
out for
why,
me?
I don't know. I tried to go that route with Joey before he left, and he's like,
don't
might
do
be some security issues.
Yeah, like, don't do that.
Okay.
What kind of security issue? I mean, I'm not running anything on here.
It's not a you thing.
I'm using Google Chrome.
But
I got a Word document open.
It's okay. 60 Minutes reported this weekend that all of our Social Security cards could be bought for $5 on the
pretty much.
Yeah, it seems like a good deal if you could buy one for $5.
That's what I figure. I'm like, who wants to be me?
Literally anybody that wants to scam other people into making money.
You guys pay your toll bill yet? You've been getting those a lot lately?
No.
I have seen a couple of those, but I already have an account.
Unpaid tolls?
With the Washington Department of Transportation for when you go up to Seattle.
Oh, you got an actual account up there?
Yeah.
Because they got tolls up there.
Where's the toll bridge in Seattle? I'm trying to remember.
Well, going across Lake Washington, but they redid kind of the viaduct area. If you go up 99, right along the waterfront through town. And if you go through the tunnel, there's a tunnel now that goes underneath it and spits you out up by Queen Anne Hill.
Mm.
There's a little toll in there.
A little toll right there.
Yeah.
The only one that I can think of is the Bridge of the Gods. Am I missing another one in our area?
In the area. Well, they're coming to Oregon. They just got to figure out. They tried to do it, and then they figured out what they wanted to put the toll at, and they figured out that, you know, half the state couldn't afford it. So, yeah.
That's good.
So they're just
financial circumstances are okay.
Trying to rack up the gas tax again. So
a little bit more from Brian Berger. He was on with Danny and Dusty yesterday, and he talked about the layers to a sale.
There are so many layers to this because, first of all, this is going to be an auction. So this isn't, you know, hey, we're having a Zillow open house and come look through the house and see what we have here. This is an auction. Allen and Company will run the auction. That means a lot of different things. Number one, it means that the owner's probably going to come from outside of Oregon. Number two, auctions usually drive up a higher price. So I would expect this could land anywhere in the $4 billion to $4.5 billion range. And for reference, the Celtics just sold for $6.1 billion.
I'm not going to give like some big number guess and say I know I'm right. I'll be a little surprised if it goes over four, just because the Suns sold for about four.
Yeah,
but they also got the WNBA franchise involved there.
Ah,
and so like I'm not saying it's not worth more than $4
billion. What's the arena status of the Suns? Do they own their arena? Is it a publicly owned arena? Do you know the answer?
I cannot answer that question. I have no clue.
Because that's part. That's the other. I mean,
that arena's
back to our,
been so there for. I mean, it's been renamed 72 different
Stick,
times.
Talking Stick Arena in Phoenix.
But I mean, I remember when it was America West Arena and whatever else it was before that. So
it's an older one.
I think that's a city owned.
Yeah.
This says Phoenix Suns do not own their arena. Footprint.
So I think that's part of it here, right? Because if you're buying the Blazers, you're also, you don't own the land, but you're owning the building.
You own the arenas and the complex.
The Vulcans own the Moda Center.
And operate
they pay for
it.
So that's the other part of it where maybe I'd be surprised if it's significantly over $4 billion, but I'll probably somewhere in that range. How would we feel about them building an arena outside of the city?
Wouldn't be shocked. A lot of franchises do that now.
Yeah.
That's the way people go now.
The question is how far outside and which direction does it go?
They built one in Vancouver for tax purposes.
No,
that would not fly.
Yeah, I can't imagine that would fly.
Throwing it out there.
The only way you go, you have to go south.
The Jets and the Giants don't play in New York. They play in New Jersey.
Yeah, kind of different.
Okay.
The only place to go is south.
Tax purposes, it's right over. It's like a 15-minute drive. It's not that far.
Yeah, but how do you, I guess, the difference, how Jersey and New York handle their business with each other, I don't know how Washington and Oregon would handle that.
Hmm.
We can't agree on a toll bridge.
The Carolina Panthers are likely going to build a new stadium in South Carolina.
Well, as you said earlier, they're the Carolinas.
They are the Carolina Panthers.
They're not really
Carolina
a North Carolina.
Based in Charlotte, North Carolina.
They're not the Charlotte Panthers.
They'll no longer be the Charlotte Panthers.
Yeah, they are the Carolina Panthers.
Those are brothers, Carolina.
I think the only place you can go is south. Because if you go like on the east side or the west side, you're going to get a whole bunch of whining and bitching from the other side.
Driving through I-5 to go through Wilsonville is a great time.
Well, but you have
through the outlets. Imagine there being a game on Black Friday and how much of a disaster.
Yeah, but you have
go more Hillsboro.
You still
than
have 217 and 205 that go down south. That you have. I'm not saying that traffic's going to be great no matter what you do.
Yeah,
but having to go on 84 or 26 is the only way to get out to whichever side you put it on.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to be pissed
non-starter.
No matter where it goes.
What
it
about
would be
Red
horrible.
Tail?
I've heard it's recently for sale. The
what
new
about
Bird
T2?
Blazers.
T2? I think it'd be Hillsboro if you were going somewhere.
Probably.
There's just huge amounts of land.
Just went to a concert at the Moda Center, and I got to say the district itself is very underwhelming to find something to eat. It's not
terrible.
That's not inside. The arena is like virtually impossible. Yeah, there's a Red Robin and a Burgerville, but good Lord, I dropped $100 on a burrito and a quesadilla, two beers, and some chips inside the arena. Absolutely ridiculous.
Don't shortchange Denny's, by the way.
How are we supposed to have some good food and good times, but only in the arena? They do need to revamp the district and make it a little bit more pedestrian and more options.
I agree with everything that person said. The only thing I'd say is you should know this by now and you should have scheduled like a dinner before you went.
Yeah, it's one of those things you just know it's going to be an arm and a leg if you go there.
Yeah, you have no choice if you're going there. You've got to buy the arena food, which is going to be way too expensive, or you got to eat somewhere you don't want
to
eat.
Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We still got a lot to get to in the final hour. It already is the final hour. We haven't really talked much about the NBA playoffs. Dive in a little bit of that still. We haven't even mentioned the NFL schedule release. That's how much news we've had the last 2 days. So we'll see if we can carve some of that out for the final hour. Some more thoughts on the Blazers being up for sale. We're still waiting for our for sale sign in front of the Mona Center. And Satter story coming up at 8:15. Loaded. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.